Jesus Christ had declared multiple times that he would die and be raised from the dead on the third day. And notice what he says, he is risen just as he said. His word is absolutely true. And he invites them to look at the place where Jesus had lied. Why? To show he's not there. It's that simple.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Debbie from Arizona. She said, this was absolutely one of the best messages I've heard on raising children. I was very blessed. Thank you for all you do. God bless you all. Well, Debbie, you are so welcome, and we are so blessed to hear that you are blessed from the Word and what God is doing through His Word. And so thank you for your encouragement. And for our listeners, the message that Debbie's referring to was in Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and that was from March 14th, 15th, and the 18th. And we certainly can get those to anyone who would like that. And also, we have available, which we offered, a booklet that my wife wrote concerning training children from the heart, where she has practical everyday examples of the scriptures being applied in child training. And we still have that booklet available. If you call us or email us, we'd be happy to get that to you. And Dave will have our contact information available at the end of this broadcast.
And Greg, your message today asks and answers the question, how can we find true hope?
You know, Dave, the world is desperately looking for hope, and they attempt to find it in many different ways, whether it's a political solution or relationships or achieving some type of success, but yet all of those methods fall short of delivering lasting hope. So where can we find true hope? We're going to talk about that today. Our text is Matthew chapter 28, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
All we do know is that the earthquake is related to an angel of the Lord coming from heaven, and that's why there was an earthquake. And what does he do? He actually rolls away the stone and sits upon it. Now, the text doesn't say the angel of the Lord, which we could be confused about. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there's a phrase, the angel of the Lord. It doesn't speak of an angel. It speaks of the pre-incarnate Christ. It speaks of the Lord. And the term angel just means messenger, but it can also point to a spirit being which we call angels. This says an angel of the Lord. This is actually an angel. It is a messenger. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 1:14, speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And we know the angels ministered to Jesus Christ in the garden. We know that, right? They are ministering spirits. They do the Lord's holy bidding. And this one is not a fallen angel, a demon. This is an elect angel. He is of the Lord. It is an angel of the Lord, or the Lord's angel, one of them. And so this angel sent, obviously, on a mission from the Father, came down, and when he came down, there was a great earthquake, and he rolled away the stone and sat upon it. That's very interesting. There's a lot of things we'll see today that are just really interesting because they're so normal. And we're going to see that today. Sat upon it. Now, it's pretty well known that tombs of this day, and also from what we have in the Gospels, could be pretty large. There's sepulchers. It's a large place where you could go into it. People could go into the tomb, and in that sense, and you could see the different, you could go in there, and there was a large amount of space in there, as we'll see. And it's pretty well known that the stones that were put in front of these tombs were extremely heavy. It wasn't like a round stone. It was more like a disc that would be rolled in there. And you're probably saying, well, how did Nicodemus and Joseph get that stone there? Well, most likely, what we see historically speaking is the tomb would be prepared, and they would have a little ramp where the stone would just roll right down that ramp. So it wouldn't take as many people to seal it, but it certainly would take more to open it up. And here we see an angel having no problem opening up the tomb and then rolling the stone away and then sitting upon it. And then look in our passage, there's a description of this angel. And his appearance was like lightning. That's the appearance of the angel himself. Not his clothing, but the angel himself. It was like lightning or flashes. And then we see his garment was white as snow. If you study the book of Revelation, you see that white garments symbolize holiness and purity. You see the reality of that in Revelation 3, 4, and 18. And you see even up in Revelation 7, 14, where those martyrs, they are clothed in white garments because they have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. It speaks of purity. And this is an elect angel. Garment is white as snow. And what happens next? Verse 4. And the guards. Now remember, there was the Jews had gone, the leaders had gone to Pilate, chapter 27, and they wanted to have the tomb guarded. Now the women didn't know about this, we'll see. They didn't understand this and know about this, because they were keeping the Sabbath, as the scripture says. But on the Sabbath, these hypocrites went to Pilate, and they wanted to have the tomb sealed and guarded, and Pilate allowed that. He said, you have a guard, go ahead and do it. So this is evidently a Roman guard that was assigned to, maybe the temple guard, assigned to the Jewish leaders. And they were guarding the tomb, and notice what the text says. They shook for fear of the angel. He's like lightning and garments as white as snow. And they became like dead men. They didn't die, we'll see. But they became like dead men. What's that like? They're lying there, not moving at all. They became like dead men. They shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And what's interesting now is that the angels don't say to the guards, fear not. But we'll see that they speak to the women. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he is lying. Now, before we look at this portion in depth, we need to fill in some of the blanks that the other gospels give us, or we might misunderstand this passage. You see, we might get confused and think there are discrepancies between the resurrection accounts, as some non-believing evil scholars would say. And I agree, on the surface, if you read quickly, you go, ooh, that doesn't seem to match. But if you study the Word of God and you pray for wisdom, you'll see that it matches completely, that God's Word is error-free. And we'll see that today. So let me fill you in a little bit here. In the book of Mark, we see that the women approached the tomb, and we don't have this recorded in Matthew. We just have the angel talking to him in Matthew. But we see in the book of Mark that they approached the tomb, and they were wondering how the stone was going to get rolled away. They didn't know about the guard, the seal. And by the way, a seal on a tomb like that, if the seal was to be broken, there was capital punishment if you did that. You would be hung upside down if you did that, broke a Roman seal. And so it was a very serious thing. The women didn't know about that. They didn't know about the guards because that happened on the Sabbath and they were keeping the Sabbath. So let's take a look at Mark 16, verses 1 through 4. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. They wanted to anoint his body. It's getting to the point where it's going to start decaying. It was an act of love. Yet they still didn't believe in the resurrection yet, but it was an act of love. And very early in the first of the day, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? They're saying, oh, we forgot something. We need to get the stone out of the way. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. So they're coming to the tomb and they're thinking about who's going to roll away this stone, and they look and they see it has already been rolled away. Now the Gospel of Luke shows us that they peered into the tomb. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. It's all the same account, different views. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. That's what we just saw in the Gospel of Mark. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, and then I'm not going to read the next part. Don't look at that. We'll look at that in a minute. They were perplexed. They went and looked in the tomb, and they didn't see Jesus, and they were perplexed. This leads us to another portion which sometimes gets confused in all how everything happens. But we see in the Gospel of John that at this point, Mary Magdalene takes off. She doesn't stay. She is not in the situation where the angels address her in Matthew. She takes off, and you'll see that. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter. Now, by the way, that was probably about 2 miles. Because most likely, and that's, she's a runner, a lot of running lately. Mary ran 2 miles, and it was probably, they were probably staying in Bethany like they had before, not in the city. And that's about 2 miles away from the tomb. And it says here that she saw the stone already taken away from the tomb, and so she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John of James and John, the sons of thunder, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Remember, the other ladies were perplexed. She evidently takes off and runs there. Okay? So she probably, as I shared, ran about 2 miles. And she now shares this with Peter and John, and now they're going to turn around and run to the tomb. Verse 3 of John chapter 20. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and the two were running together. And the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. Well, I guess John was probably a little younger than Peter. So he beat him to the tomb. Okay, so here's the situation. They've come to the tomb. It is open. They peer in. And Mary Magdalene bolts, and the other ones are looking in. And so what happens at this point? We come to our passage, and this is what happens in our passage as validated by Luke and the other Gospels. Verse 5, back in Matthew 28. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he is lying." Now, I admit in my study of this passage, this gave me the most difficulty throughout the week. It caused me a lot of difficulty in my study. Because there are a lot of expositors, not everyone, who read through this, I believe, very quickly and assume that the women are speaking to the angel outside the tomb because initially he had been sitting on the rock. And they also assume that because of the phrase, "come, see the place where he was lying." I don't believe that's the case. I believe when we study this closely that they're actually in the tomb. Let me show you this. And that some people will say, well, then they came in twice. They talked to them outside, then they went in, then they came out. I'm sorry. You don't need to force Scripture to work together. It works together if you study it properly and understand it. Take a look. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not in there. No, he is not here. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. The tombs were big enough. Take a look. Look over here at where he was lying." You see, I think that's what's happening. All the other Gospels say he is not here, and they are in the tomb. Not he is not in there. I believe they are in the tomb. Take a look at the Gospel of Mark again. The Gospel of Mark. Mark 16, verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary and the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away." So all three of those ladies, they didn't expect the stone to be rolled away. And then they saw it. It was rolled away. And he says, "And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, 'Do not be amazed, for you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen.'" What? "He is not here." He's not here in the tomb. "Behold, here is the place where they laid him." It's a parallel statement. He's not here. Come and look. Look over here. This is where they had laid him. He is not here. We see the same account in the book of Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 24. You're going, I don't understand this. Well, we'll hopefully tie a bow on it in a minute. Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. We see that in everyone, right? But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened while they were perplexed. So they entered. Now, Mary Magdalene had taken off at that point. They stole my Lord, whatever it is. He's gone. She took off, ran to Peter and John. But here we see the two that are left, at least the two, with Salome and the other Mary, right? We see here, it says here in the passage, behold, two men. Now you got a problem. Two men or one man? How many angels are there? Well, there's two angels, folks, but each account shows from a different view. I could say, for instance, I drove to the high school. That's one person, right? That's in one account. Well, I could tell you in another account, I drove my son Daniel to the high school. Now you've got two people. Do you see what I'm saying? It just matters on how the true story here is described. Suddenly, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. Now think about this. They're in the tomb and you can stand. It's a big tomb. It's a big tomb, okay? We need to understand that. It's not a small little tomb. It's one where you have to look where he was lying. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a big tomb. Okay. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is not here. That's in the tomb. They're inside the tomb. But he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Each account, he is not here. And I believe when we look at Matthew, that is happening inside the tomb, not outside the tomb. Matthew's just not giving all the details. He's moving from one point to another. And Matthew is saying back in our passage, we see the account, verse 5, an angel of the Lord said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. You're looking to anoint him who's been crucified. He is not here. Come or see, look over here, the place where he was lying. So we have this wonderful reality, and I don't want you to miss this in light of the things I've been trying to show you. The most important part is this, and we must not miss this, the phrase, for he has risen. That's the important part of the passage. He has risen. Jesus Christ had declared multiple times and even taught them back in Galilee that he would die and be raised from the dead on the third day. And notice what he says. He is risen just as he said. His word is absolutely true. It's the third day he did it just as he said. And he invites them to look at the place where Jesus had lied. Why? To show he's not there. It's that simple. Now, some of you might also think that the angel may have rolled away the tomb so that Jesus could get out. That's nothing further from the truth. I believe the stone was rolled away so that people could see in that he had risen from the dead. You see, Jesus, as we'll see later on in his resurrection body, glorified, could walk through walls. The tomb was no big deal for him. When he rose from the dead, he just went right out. We see. So first of all, the most important thing out of all of this is the fact he has risen. And this is crucial. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing here. And the implications are massive for each and every person who has ever lived on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn there for a minute because I want to show you some of those implications. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul has declared the gospel that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. And then he goes on to confront some who say the resurrection has not taken place, or that men are not raised. And he goes to the logical conclusion, well, if men are not raised, then Christ isn't raised because God became a man. And he goes through a hypothetical discussion on what would happen if Jesus had not been raised, the logical consequences of not having a resurrected Savior. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he is raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Because he died, right? He did die. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is empty or vain. And your faith is also empty or vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we witnessed against him that he raised him, raised Christ for whom he didn't raise, and that's hypothetical. If in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. You see, the resurrection is of crucial importance. You see, because if Christ isn't raised, then his sacrifice certainly was not accepted by the Father. He died for our sins, but as we will see from Romans chapter 4, he was raised for our justification. He was raised that it would prove everything he said was true, that he was who he said he was, and that the Father did accept the sinless, spotless Lamb of God's sacrifice. He needed to be raised. And if he wasn't raised, what you believe is worthless. You're still in the main thing, in your sins. And I mentioned this earlier, sin is our problem. Sin is our problem. Isaiah would write that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He died for our sins, but it is crucial to recognize that he needed to be raised from the dead. You see, if Christ isn't raised, then we're still in our sins because his sacrifice was not accepted. He wasn't who he said he was. He didn't do what he said he would do. He had to be raised. He had to be raised. Now, there are some other passages that give us the significance and importance of the resurrection. I want to briefly talk about those, but I want to move back to our passage. If you turn to Romans chapter 1. You see, the Lord of the universe, the great I am, humbled himself and took on human flesh. And when he was in his humanity, you couldn't see anything special about him apart from the truth that he brought forth. He was full of grace and truth. He manifests the true character of God because he was God. And the miraculous things that he did by the Spirit from his Father, we see. He humbled himself, becoming a man. And you might be mistaken to think that he's not the Lord just because of his humility. But we see the resurrection proves that he is God also. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning, this is Jesus, concerning his son, who was born a descendant of David. He came in the flesh, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead was a declaration that Jesus is God the Son. He needed to rise from the dead. We know in Acts chapter 2 that his resurrection also reveals his sinlessness because death could not hold him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our final moments today, what's our takeaway from this message?
You know, Dave, the takeaway from today's message is this. When you truly see Christ for who he really is, then you will find true hope that will never disappoint. You see, when the women came to the tomb, they expected to see Jesus lying there dead. They were devout. They knew Jesus, and yet they had not fully understood. But the moment they understood and believed that he was the Son of God, they were filled with eternal hope. And for us, the same is true. You can go to church, you can read your Bible, you can know the facts about Christianity, and yet still be without hope.
But when you acknowledge your sin, repenting and turning to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will find true hope that will never fail. So my friend, if you're looking for hope today, look no further than Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross for you. That is the place of true hope.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.